Hello, if you're listening to us, you love movies, and we want to send you to your next movie.
We want you to suggest which movie we should feud next. That's it.
When we feud it, and trust us, we will feud it, we try to get to all our suggestions, the person who suggested it gets 2 free movie tickets on Book My Show.
Just message us on Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter at Muncha Movies and let us know which movie you want us to feud.
It doesn't matter if you're listening in 2001 or 2021. Just reach out to us. And then have fun at the movies on us.
And now, on to the episode.
In a world filled with war, hate, suffering, and Justin Bieber, two guys fix it all with a battle about a movie. One film, two opinions, one coin. Two sides. They feud. You decide. It's time for Film Feud.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Film Feud, the podcast where we debate whether top-rated movies should be top-rated. I'm Vidur.
And I am Vikram.
How are you doing, Vikram?
I'm excellent, my sir.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Undercellent.
And excellent it is. How are you doing? Welcome to the show, Vidur.
I'm pretty good. I'm excited because I know that the movie we're doing, old Indian classic 1975's Shole.
Yeah, I'm excited too because I haven't seen this movie since God knows when.
Since 1975?
Maybe a few 13 or 15 odd years after that, but I actually don't remember the last time I saw it. And that's the part that excites me the most because I, like every other Indian person out there, knows the lines because the lines have transcended the movie and
for sure
they've gained their own cult status. So I know the lines and I'm curious to see where those lines fit in the movie, actually.
Yeah, man. I'm pretty pumped. So you want to jump into the coin toss?
Yeah, let's do this. Do you want to run the listeners by what we're doing?
Sure thing. It's pretty simple. I toss a coin. Heads is for, tails is against. Here we go.
So you got heads.
I got heads. One of the biggest Indian movies of all time. I'm for it. I'm excited.
Well, another big Indian movie was Dil To Pagal Hai, and you wouldn't be so excited about getting heads there. I'm actually excited because every time I've rewatched an old Hindi movie, I've sort of hated it. So I'm glad I've got tails here because I'm pretty sure I'll hate this one as well.
Dude, all I know, Gabbar Singh, the greatest villain of all time. And you know how it is. Villains make movies. That's why the Marvel movies have so many complaints. They don't ever have good villains. This is going to be the opposite of a Marvel movie.
You just had to wedge a Marvel movie example in there. You had to. Like, you couldn't resist.
It's Shole. I'm for Shole. Perfect.
Let's go. Let's go watch the movie.
Let's do it. Let's go watch the movie. Oh, wait. Before we do, let's not forget, Vikram, who's our sponsor for the week?
So our sponsor for this week is Bun Tiki, Tiki Taka.
Excuse me?
Bun Tiki, Tiki Taka.
Is that a mountain in South America? It sounds like Lake Titicaca.
It is close. It is close. I'd give you that.
Bun Tiki. So as in like a bun and a tiki?
And Tiki Taka.
Wait, why am I saying tiki? It's tiki.
Bun Tiki, Tiki Taka.
What is Tiki Taka? Is that like a song? Bun Tiki Bum Bum. Is that?
I think that's Bum Chiki Chiki Bum.
Oh, okay. I'm not able to place my finger.
Bun Tiki, you know Bun Tiki.
I know Bun Tiki.
We eat Bun Tikis,
yes.
And then Tiki Taka.
What is Tiki Taka?
The style of football. It's pioneered by this great Dutch footballer by the name of Johan Cruyff.
Okay.
Where it's like short passes. Sort of how you play FIFA.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're pretty tiki-taka when you play FIFA.
Oh, yeah.
So
and
our
other things as well.
So, yeah. You tiki-taka your way through life. But you eat Bun Tiki while doing it. So our sponsor this week is Bun Tiki Tiki-taka.
Bun Tiki Tiki... Bun Tiki... Bun Tiki-taka. Is it Bun Tiki-taka? Is it a dude?
You can call Bun Tiki Tiki-taka Bun Tiki-taka Kaka.
I just want to thank Bun Tiki-taka for sponsoring our podcast this week.
Thanks, Buns.
Ready to do it?
Yeah, let's do it. Let's go watch this movie, bro.
Let's go watch the movie.
Ye movie bahut hi raddi hai. Meri aankh jal gayi. Mera sar phat gaya.
You know, when you first started singing, I was like, oh my God, he wrote out a verse and prepared a song. But did you just make the second half of that up?
Kind of, but I still spent time preparing it because that's how passionately I feel about how this movie sucks.
You thought this movie sucked.
This movie is so bad.
And the lyrics you prepared to express that feeling were that your eyes burnt and your
brain exploded.
Oh, wow. Wow. Very
my brain
creative.
Exploded. That was a point where I heard a mini explosion in my head whilst watching this movie. And I wanted to take a break, but just because of this podcast, I had to watch it.
Shut the f*** up.
I had to watch it.
How dare you? This movie was amazing. I'm so happy with this movie. This movie had everything. How could you say that?
I have a simple question for you. What is the genre of this movie?
The genre of this movie is the Shole genre.
Exactly.
I knew you were going to bring this up. The genre of this movie is spaghetti western.
No.
Bollywood spaghetti western.
By the way, they gave it a new name, huh? It's called Curry Western.
Curry Western. Boom, dude. That's amazing. That's perfect.
It's the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
What? You only like movies that are genres, not genre bending, distorting, creating, like Shole.
Shole is not genre bending.
It's a curry, bro. It's like when you put in like long and elaichi and all that stuff. This movie put in like westerns and Bollywood and story, acting, drama, comedy, songs, but villain.
They didn't mix it. You're supposed to mix it.
They mixed it, bro.
No, it's just like once he's like slapstick, boom, next scene, violent. Violent as shit. I'm like shoot people. Next scene, oh, dance. Okay. And the next scene, it's like Hema Malini talking for like half. Oh my God. I think that's where my brain exploded. I can pinpoint to where my mini explosion happened.
Let's hear it.
Is when Hema Malini, I couldn't take it. I couldn't take like scene 3 of Hema Malini.
And your feelings were resonated on the screen through the stoic character of Amitabh Bachchan's Jay. In fact, if we were to give each other characters, since you're tall, you would be Jay. And since I'm... I guess adorably pudgy, I would be Viru. So I insist that for the rest of this podcast, we refer to each other as Jay and Viru.
I cannot. I just cannot do that. I'm so sorry.
Dude, even if I concede your stupid genre argument, which again, I knew you'd bring up because this movie notoriously, amazingly blended all these genres. Think about the opening, man. Just see, from the get-go, it's like a f***ing action-packed rom. And then it allows room for the comedy beats, the romance beats, then the drama. And then it builds back up to this, like, revenge saga. And, you know, also tragedy. And it's everything. It's everything you need. This is entertainment. This is cinema. The opening of the movie, man. When you saw the opening. Because I don't remember the opening at all, actually, from ever having seen. Because you always catch it from the middle, really. And the opening blew me away. It was like a badass production of a train fight scene against Dakus with chases and horses and on top of the train. That's legit. It reminded me of the opening of Skyfall.
You think Skyfall opening was inspired by Shole?
100% Skyfall opening was inspired by Shole. 100%.
Oh man, I'm not gonna, there's no rebuttal.
All it needed was Amitabh Bachchan to do the thing that Daniel Craig did with his suit.
Uh-huh.
That would have been perfect. It would have killed it.
Yeah.
Jay?
Oh my God, Dharmender, so bad. He is literally India's Arnold Schwarzenegger.
No.
He is literally India's Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Literally.
He's so bad.
Literally.
He's high up there in terms of the fame achieved, the money made, the movies
done. You know,
he
was considered the most handsome man in the world. Oh, just like Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Just like Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Oh, shit.
He has that big, bulky body thing going for him. All he's India's version of Arnold Schwarzenegger. Bad actor,
did
superstar.
Did you just compare Dharmendra's body
the,
to
it's
Arnold's
the Indian version.
Body?
Isn't it the Indian version? Think about it.
Did you say Indian version or inversion? Because it's the inversion of no. Arnold's body.
No. So he was known as the well-built, strong dude.
Dude, Dharmendra's love handles are like the size of, I don't know, like Arnold's balls probably.
He is India's Arnold. Think about it. He ticks all of the boxes. Bad acting, check. Famous, check.
Bad haircut,
check. Just, oh my God. When he does an emotional scene or a comic scene or...
Jay?
It's the same.
Masi ji. I'm so bad at it, but I still keep doing it. I don't know why.
But the thing is, you come so close. That's how bad he was.
No, that's how iconic he was. Everybody had a Dharmendra because he had a particular way of speaking. Like Arnold, I concede that point.
If you would have thrown Dharmendra in Predator, no difference. No difference. bad at English. He'll probably be bad at English too. Same accent, whatever. He's from Austria, India. For Hollywood guys, they're like, haan, kahin aur se.
Jeff, get to the chopper, Jeff.
Get to the chop.
And then Arnold, put him in Chole. Teach him Hindi and put him in Chole, bro. That's it. He just has to say it in one side. He's India's Arnold, dude.
All right, enough. I don't know why I'm even conceding this at all and letting you go on and on about this stupid point. Maybe because
wait
of visual.
Till we get an Arnold Schwarzenegger movie in this podcast, and I'm gonna bring Dharmendra up.
Jay, I can't stop.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll try to get to a real point amongst all this bullshit. Is that maybe Dharmendra was probably the weakest actor of the lot, just because he's probably the weakest actor, period. But apart from that, the acting in the movie is pretty f***ing solid, bro. Sanjeev Kumar firstly kills it as Thakur. He could ham it up in a way that wouldn't be convincing, but he hams it up in like this weird-ass intensity that's actually legit. Basanti does her job fine. Amitabh was actually pretty awesome, man. And I'm actually kind of an Amitabh fan, and I hadn't seen Shole, which is arguably his most famous role. And he just kills it. He's like the quiet, stoic guy to a T. And he actually manages to be the super funny guy as well. Most of that's due to the writing. We'll get to it. But like his scene with Mossy and his like sarcastic, you know-it-all remarks. Like, tumhara naam kya hai, Basanti? All that shit is on point. So what, Dharmendra's a little like sucky when it comes to acting.
Well, he's one half of the movie, so that's a big...
How dare you? How dare you think the movie is just Jay and Veeru?
Jay? There's more to the movie than that, Jay.
I think Gabbar is one half of the movie. But we'll get to that, I suppose.
Yeah, we definitely will. Can't skip over Gabbar. But coming back to your point about Sanjeev Kumar, I just feel like that era of Bollywood had a very... I don't know, similar style of acting in terms of like the gritty teeth and then just like the dialogue delivery through those gritty teeth when they're angry or really upset or something. And Sanjeev Kumar does that a lot in this movie as well. I know he's known as one of the greatest actors in Bollywood history and stuff, but I don't know, man, maybe it's my affiliation against old Bollywood classics in terms of, especially in terms of dialogue delivery and acting in general, where, That is one thing that doesn't need to be subpar. I understand if a movie's from the 60s or the 70s, then there's certain aspects of filmmaking that are dated as compared to today. So I'm not going to take anything away from that in terms of...
In a way, it's broad. I'm granting that it's broad. You know, that's what it has to be. But I don't even know about the context of him being considered like one of the greats or whatever. I think this movie, he did exactly what was needed. I think the stakes solely relied on him. Without him, there were no stakes. Of course, Gabbar did a killer job, as in Amjad Khan did a killer job. But I think all the stakes came from Sanjeev Kumar's intensity. All the eventual emotional stakes came from that. All the action stakes effectively came from him. Killed it. I thought his acting was f***ing amazing. And then all the supporting players, man. All the comedy in this movie, which you're calling like genre, would you say?
Slapstick is what I would call it.
Okay, so all the slapstick in this movie. Asrani kills it.
Mm-hmm.
People became legends from like bit parts, dude. Surma Bhopali had a spin-off. Surma Bhopali the movie.
Uh-huh.
Samba still popular, dude.
Yeah, the dude's name is Mac, by the way.
Mac. Yeah,
his name is Mac, dude. You can't take anything away from that guy. His name's Mac. His real name is f***ing Mac. Mac's the man.
He had one word in the whole movie and he's still famous for that movie.
Yeah, he's still known as Samba. Yeah, I agree with all of that, dude. Like, and bit parts make the movie, they complete, they fill the hole and stuff like that. But I'm still not convinced about how much importance you're giving to Sanjeev Kumar, his character and the way he's acted to the outcome of the movie, because a lot of the things that you attribute to Sanjeev Kumar or his portrayal of that character Thakur is, in my eyes, felt very forced in terms of pushing the script in that direction and shooting the film in such a way that it takes that direction as opposed to it coming naturally. Now, Gabbar Singh could have... He's an actor. Amjad Khan's an actor in the same era of Bollywood. And he chose to portray a Bollywood villain in a completely different way in terms of acting and the way he delivered that role to the screen. None of the other guys did that. And
so are you giving me a point, by the way, for
dude,
Gabbar?
I can't criticize on Gabbar.
Epic, right?
You cannot. Like, there's a reason those lines are famous. And
oh my God, dude. Because we know, as you were saying, we know the lines already. Like, we know the lines more than we knew the movie before
exactly,
we watched it.
Exactly.
And you realize it's just one after the other, man. There's not a scene with Gabbar without an iconic line, and a deservedly iconic line, dude.
Yeah.
The whole introduction of Gabbar, by the way, best villain intro ever. That whole sequence, kitne aadmi the. I'm sure Westerns and Akira Kurosawa and all that, all those filmmakers and films had covered these kind of epic villain introductions, but at least I don't remember one, and I'm sure this was one of the first for Bollywood. Killed it, man. That whole Sarkar teen sequence leading up till Jo Dar Gaya Samjho Mar Gaya. I've been hearing those dialogues in like song remixes growing up and shit, right? And just watching that scene again and seeing the entire context and the context of the whole movie blew me away. Best villain ever, man.
I can't take away from the dialogue bit at all. Something like Samba Kitne Aadmi The is something that I've heard all my life, can say out loud from memory. But up until watching or re-watching this movie, rather, I actually had no context why that dialogue was said. For example, I had no idea what Gabbar was saying that. And a lot of dialogues that I did not know were from Sholay. For example, Jo Dar Gaya Samjho Mar Gaya and all of that. I didn't know that was from Sholay. It was just like dialogues and lines you know from Bollywood.
I had that classic experience too. Like, itna sannata kyun hai bhai?
Right. But coming back to your point about the most iconic introduction to a villain ever, I don't kind of agree with that. There are a lot of movies that you might have watched in your past, a lot of Hollywood movies and stuff, which you probably, once you do rewatch, then they'll take precedence over Gabbar's introduction as a villain, because they've done the job pretty well. But I'm just going to circle back to my point about acting, right? Gabbar could have been the traditional villain as well, but he chose not to. That's why his acting is so good in the movie. So Sanjeev Kumar could have been a non-traditional driver in terms of intensity and storyline and where the story takes us, and so could have been Dharmender, so could have been Amitabh Bachchan when he played Jay. Like, I mean, he was stoic and stuff, but still he was more or less along the same lines of what he does in most of his movies. He was the angry young man and stuff, right? So it came very naturally to him. So Dharmender especially, and Sanjeev Kumar, Hema Malini, I'm not even going to talk of. It wasn't acting what she did. She was just like a fucking chatterbox in the movie.
That but is acting. What do you mean it's not acting? What the fuck is that all about, dude?
If you, firstly, am I getting paid for that? I'll do that all day long in every Bollywood movie out there, dude, and I will kill it if that's all I need to do. Game over. Khatam karo, bro. Fuck. I mean, she was, I think why a reason she passed off with how she passed off and what she did was because of India's obsession with her at that point of time.
She was the hottest damsel in distress ever, firstly.
I don't even think she's that hot.
If you were living in India in the 1970s, you'd think she's pretty hot. Like, there was no porn back then. It was just holy songs with Hema Malini in gown outfits.
Nah, man. I think there were prettier Indian actresses than her, 100%.
She's pretty pretty in the movie, I suppose. Doesn't matter. She's also a feminist. She said, "Dhanno ladki hoke agar tanga chala sakti, toh main kyun nahi chala sakti?" I was like, oh.
Oh, wow.
Very progressive in the 1970s.
Even though they had no intention of being pro-feminist with that line and stuff.
And like then
that.
When Veeru was getting a little rapey, she stood up for herself. That was nice. Do you remember the scene when he's trying to teach her to shoot a gun?
Just that one line when he said Veeru was getting a little rapey. I mean, kuch bhi, curry mein kuch bhi dal do, and then they just expect the taste to be good. But it just
curry or not, even if it was curry, okay. It was a long movie. I'll concede that. And I didn't feel it. It flew by because it was so well paced. Even if they mixed genres, they chose the order in which they would come in such a way. You don't get to know. Like the Thakur, for instance, like the Thakur servant reveals exactly at the halfway point what all the stakes are. Like all the pacing is done perfectly, exactly halfway point you get to know. This is the villain, this is why, the villain established. I mean, if this is what these classic Indian movies are like, I want to watch a few more of them, man. That was really good.
Best of luck with that, dude. And tell me how it was, because I have no plans of doing it. This movie was a good, good test of my patience. And I'm glad I came out the other side in one piece and was able to watch the movie in one go. I wasn't expecting myself to, because as soon as I saw the ticker saying 3 hours, 15 minutes or whatever the length of the movie is, I almost thought about not doing this episode because I didn't know if I'd be able to take a Bollywood classic with 3 hours, 15 minutes. I did. So I'm pretty proud of myself.
Whenever you're done patting yourself on your own back for watching a movie.
I mean, part of the job, bro. By the way, another thing I was, I would say, disappointed about here was, it was probably because of how hyped the dialogues are in my head and like how much repetition it's been growing up and stuff. So like the whole kitne aadmi the scene, right? He said, kitne aadmi the, do the, jo samajh nahi aa raha hai, kitni baar puchega? Like back and forth. I understand it's his introduction and shit, but like, fine, chill out.
What are you talking about?
It's just overkill. If Gabbar's was toned down by 40%, he would have been the greatest Bollywood character ever.
So after conceding
portrayed
that Gabbar was the most amazing villain. You actually saying he should have been toned down by
40%. No. I said Gabbar was the best acting in this movie. I didn't say he's the greatest villain ever.
Who's a better villain than Gabbar Singh?
Don.
Don's not a villain. Or is he? Kuch hota hai na.
Oh, shit. Did I spoil the movie for you?
No, seriously. Who's a better villain than Gabbar Singh? I agree that it's a little over the top, but that's the perfection of it. And he does it in a believable way, thanks to the amazing acting you were talking about.
It's not believable. Come on. That's a far shot.
Jay, you're on the spot, Jay. Who's the better villain, Jay?
In Bollywood?
Yeah.
I couldn't tell you.
Okay, who's the better villain in general?
Le Chiffre?
Yeah, I'm sure what Gabbar was missing was bleeding from the eye. Weird though, they do refer to James Bond in the movie, which really threw me off. Yeah.
But I mean, I feel the direct influence to this movie, which is the Dollars trilogy that Sergio Leone made. Like those,
that's right.
That movie, those three movies had like The Good, Bad and the Ugly and the main guy who's all across all of the movies, like
Clint Eastwood.
And the guys he was actually fighting, right? Mm-hmm. So like you need to just go rewatch those three movies if you
haven't. Actually watched The Good, Bad and the Ugly recently. And you know what struck me when I was watching Sholay again is firstly the similarity is the spaghetti versus curry western. But actually, the way they picked up those elements and then blended those elements, for instance, even like the camera movement, it goes from the top to the bottom for Clint Eastwood. They do that with Thakur towards the end of the movie, which we'll get to because that's my favorite scene in the movie. But it occurred to me that Sholay did a really good job at adapting that. And not only that, I'm kind of pivoting from whatever point you were about to make because I don't give a shit. I'm sure it was stupid. But the music, I mean, The Good, Bad, and the Ugly, and in general, that trilogy, thanks to Enrico Morricone, has like the greatest soundtrack ever. And it was one of those things I actually loved the soundtrack before I ever saw the movie. And Sholay did a really good job with the music and the sound mixing, man. I mean, amazing sound mixing. It was a little hacky in parts, but like Village sounds would be perfect. Gabbar sounds would be perfect. Even like, you know, echoing in the Gabbar layer. And I think it was one of the first movies to use like stereoscopy or whatever. It's like, you know, double-sided sound. Amazing. Like Gabbar's laugh. Think about how iconic Gabbar's laugh is. That's purely an achievement in sound mixing and sound design. Amazing. And the soundtrack as well, just like the Dollars trilogy. I mean, R.D. Burman, dude, destroyed it. Knocked it out of the park.
Let me know when you flaccid again. I can't see your boner for that long. It's kind of uncomfortable. Jesus, bro. Jesus. Man won't stop about f***ing sound, dude. For f***ing sake. Talking about villains and talking about
wait, so you're just ignoring everything I brought up because
I don't
it's
agree.
It's undefeatable.
I do not agree.
You don't agree that the music is awesome.
I agree that this is the first Bollywood movie that's made in stereophone or whatever. That's a fact. So I can't disagree with it.
No, what about the amazing sound mixing?
Because a lot of it is also remastered stuff
from
the original movie. How do you know the sound you're hearing is the original 1975 cut?
Oh, come on. Like, what about the melody and stuff? They haven't created new melody like that harmonica tune.
Oh, I didn't like the, I don't know what.
You didn't like that one?
No. And the songs either. I mean,
you didn't like the songs?
Just so overhyped. It's again, the same thing as the lines. Mehbooba, Mehbooba, ooh, ah.
Dude, Mehbooba, I watched that song.
Are you getting a boner again, bro?
I did when I watched Helen like dance to Mehbooba or Mehbooba.
Helen never liked her.
Never liked her either.
She never liked her. What's the obsession?
I think she was the only person who was willing to show skin back in the day. She was the only person
bastards, man.
Who hated her parents enough to like do that in the 1970s.
Isn't she like Salman's mom or something?
What?
Yeah, I think she's Salman Khan's mom. Dude, you're going to get shot, bro. Shut up.
Gulshan mein gul khilte hain jab sehra. I loved it, dude. It was so good. Like, that music was so good.
And like, Ye Dosti, that song took 25 days to shoot. Would you believe that?
No.
25 days or 21, something retarded, dude. You know which scene would have taken the most time? Them going up and down in the bike. I swear that must have taken 2 weeks to master.
Yeah, first Dharmendra standing up, then Amitabh standing up, first Dharmendra standing up. Dude, should we go recreate that? Should we have a video element that goes alongside a podcast where it's just us doing that on repeat?
I will only do it if we get our hands on a bike.
On a bike with the sidecar? Yeah. I do want a bike with a sidecar, dude.
Yeah.
Ye Dosti was iconic, not the best. I thought Mehbooba was like just an amazing song, really. Holi Ke Rang is perhaps not the bestest song. Mm-hmm. I don't know, man. In general, the music made me just feel good. Mehbooba is like the most famous item number of all time, effectively. It kind of started off this item number trend. If it wasn't for Mehbooba, there would be no Kala Chashma remix.
Well, all the more reason for Mehbooba to stop or not be there.
I just think it blended Bollywood, the music in particular, blended Bollywood and Western perfectly. The music as well as the sound design, sound mixing, and the background score.
Sound design, sound mixing, I'm not too convinced of. Background score and...
Just the Gabbar laugh, man. That's all you need to think about.
That's Amjad Khan. That's Amjad Khan through and through, right?
No, that's not how sound mixing works. It's not like Amjad Khan just did it on the set and they came up with like this epic Gabbar laugh that will resonate and then zoom out. And then it'll echo through his layer. That's
right,
what sound
mixing. But if Amjad Khan's laugh would have been, then it would have been like not as effective. It's the laugh that he gets out.
Let me rephrase that. If it wasn't for the sound mixing, then his laugh would not have been that effective, as opposed to the other way.
I understand what you're trying to say about sound mixing and sound editing and stuff. Still on the fence about that. But one thing I have to grant you is the late, great R.D. Burman.
Mm-hmm.
Can't take away from that guy. Guy's a genius, man. And even though his songs, like, there's a reason they're so famous and they've transcended his movies. But I wasn't too big a fan of the songs in this movie, but I see why they're as famous as they are, 100%.
All right. That's not bad.
Side note, Gabbar Singh was wearing a cab driver uniform the entire movie. Could you explain that one for me, please? Was he a part-time auto driver or something in Ramgarh? Was that his gig? To make ends meet?
He was rocking a pretty solid green safari suit the whole time. It's literally like a cab driver. And then, oh, by the way, here's a ammo belt or whatever the f*** he used to carry.
I mean, I don't blame him. There's a thin line between...
cab driver and Daku?
No. That green suit where on this side of the line, it's auto driver. And then on that side of the line is a school principal. We had one who used to wear something like that, if you
That's
remember.
That's right, for a couple
Not
of years.
Not going to name him, but yeah. So it's this very thin line of green safari suits where you either fall this way or that. Gabbar was way on the auto driver side the
I'll
entire time.
I'll grant you the safari suit if that's what you want. Just had to pick something.
No, dude. Man, I have a bunch of nitty-gritties from this movie. I would only dive into them if you bring them up. Otherwise, I
have
feel
nitty-gritties
like,
that are positive too. Like, Gabbar kills a kid with a smile on his face. Like, that was some hardcore shit, you know?
And you think Gabbar's the reason Joker's a thing, dude?
Yeah, dude. Everything that came after this movie gets credit for. What I would focus on, not nitty-gritty, what I would focus on pretty big is the characters in the movie. We touched upon a few, which goes to the writing as well. Saleem Javed, by the way, totally knocked it out of the park and became like the legend duo that they ended up becoming.
Two characters that I feel, one more so than the other, of course, and both of us have affection for this person, Asrani.
I could spend the whole podcast talking about Asrani, honestly.
The dude looks the same age today.
He does look the same
That's
age.
Up.
What's the other character you're talking about before I hop onto Asrani?
Samba, because his name's Mac, dude. The guy's name is f***ing Mac. I can't get over that. You know, my mama met him at the airport once. It's like f***ing 6 years ago or something. He's like, hey, Mac. He's like, hey, he's a big fan. Thank you. And he walked up.
That is so funny.
And he also looks the same age.
We have now focused on Samba more than the movie ever chooses to focus on him. He literally has the dialogue, Sarkar Do, and that's it. Throughout the whole movie, and he's still famous for it. Forget Mac, dude. Asrani.
Yes.
So you're granting it before I even say anything?
I mean, the guy has some serious age potion thing going, which I would love to get my hands on.
No, forget age potion. In the movie, dude, in Shole, the jailer is so epic. The slapstick is not just slapstick. It's like good slapstick, dude. It's legit. Firstly, epic dialogue. Aadhe idhar ki taraf, aadhe idhar ki taraf, baki mere peeche. What a perfect execution. What a perfect scene. I actually get a smile on my face just imagining like all of India being entertained by that stupid joke as like a whole in the 1970s.
Not to sound like an elitist or something, but India's threshold of humor is way lower than that. So,
you're too good for India, motherfucker.
I don't know. Asrani was good. I would have loved it if that movie had carried on that tone completely and would have been just an out-and-out comedy. It would have been a better movie, 100%. But, I don't know. Sacrifices have to be made.
Off, man. If there's any character that should have got a spin-off, it's Asrani's.
As the Charlie Chaplin jailer.
The jailer? He did it better. Okay. Asrani did it better than Charlie Chaplin. I've actually watched The Great Dictator and Charlie Chaplin's pretty good.
Charlie Chaplin's pretty good?
And Charlie Chaplin's pretty good, yeah.
Okay.
But
did not know that.
Asrani did a better satirization of Hitler. Dude, they play when the jailer is first introduced. The character introduction in this movie, man, so good. When the jailer is first introduced, They're playing like this public domain instrumental version of For He's a Jolly Good Fellow. It's so stupid.
Yeah.
It's so great, man. And then the whole sequence of them breaking out of jail, and then, oh man, that character was too good, dude.
Yeah. I don't have any remarks for your comparison of Charlie Chaplin and Asrani.
I don't see how I can possibly lose this. This is too easy today.
You literally said Asrani is better than Charlie Chaplin. Charlie f***ing Chaplin. Asrani did it better. And you expect me to like have a rebuttal prepared for that? That's, oh my God. Oh my God, dude. And you know who I feel bad for? Even though I shouldn't, because I don't give a f***, but Jaya Bachchan's character.
Oh, poor double widow.
Talking about how sad her situation is, you know Wikipedia's synopsis of the movie? You know what the last line of that synopsis is? The police then arrived and arrest Gabbar. After Jai's funeral, Veeru leaves Ramgarh and finds Basanti waiting for him on the train.
Yeah, I remember that. That's the last scene.
Radha is left alone again. That's how it ends. Poor Jaya Bachchan, dude.
Poor Radha, man. Poor Radha.
Dude, she needs to get like a 10-pack of white sardis and just chill. That's all she needs to put. Like, who in his right mind would talk to her? Because she's like, bad luck.
Jesus.
She's gonna get you cured.
Me, dude. You conservative, old-ass, retro, regressive piece of shit Indian uncle.
Oh, man.
This poor movie Jaya was Bachchan. Progressive, dude. Hey, not just the feminism Hema Malini angle, but the whole thing was Sanjeev Kumar saying, like, she should get married. Although his logic was a little weak because she was like, she's just kind of chilling here, so why doesn't she get married? But still, man, that was like really ahead of its time. You're laughing now, you privileged. You don't even know what this movie accomplished in terms of that regard.
The man who just exclaimed that when Veeru got rapey, is trying to argue that this movie was progressive.
That's the eclectic nature of India and this podcast, you know. India, like, we're talking about a place where sati used to happen, at a time when sati used to happen, dude. Mm-hmm. And then they're showing that Jaya Bachchan should go and get married to, mm-hmm. like, this weird man in a suit who comes to a village.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That is some progressive shit.
Whatever progressiveness you see here is purely by chance and or accidental. They absolutely did not mean it to be in there. And
how can you say that? What do you mean they didn't? Of course they meant it. Saleem Javed, man.
Kaun hai Saleem Javed? Saleem Javed, man. Like,
what do you mean? You're taking away writing credit because you're insisting that it was accidental that they had progressive shit in the movie?
No, but you are also exclaiming that Saleem Javed had progressive written on their forehead, that every script they write is progressive. And then a script later.
It's somewhere in the middle.
Jay? It's somewhere in the middle, Jay? Masiji?
You know what's fascinating is that it actually didn't do that well when it was first released for the first couple of weeks.
Yeah, I read that too.
And then in the third week, thanks to like just word of mouth, it actually kind of picked up. Lucky, man, because if a movie sucks for 2 weeks here, it's out. You know, back then it's just like, okay, they're going to stick with it for a while. And then it became probably one of the highest grossing Indian movies of all time. Like, it still probably maintains that record.
Yeah, and also I think it has to do a lot with the way distribution worked at that time. It was only released in Bombay, for example, for the first month or two. And then it came to Delhi, like, and all of the other areas in like October. So that's like a good 2-3 months after. So the word of mouth helped there.
This still happens, by the way. Like, movies do this and they come out in like the bigger cities. And then eventually when everybody gets around to them, then they become an overnight sensation. So that whole phenomenon is very popular.
Slightly more accelerated now, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
And one more thing I wanted to talk about was, I think it was made on a budget of like three odd crores, which must have been a good budget at that time. But it took 2.5 years to make. That's really messed up if you think about it, because taking 2.5 years to make, I understand it will if it takes you 25 days to shoot a f***ing song, but you know, stuff like, I know I shouldn't be hating on this because it's, I don't know, whatever, 75 and this and that, but just simple stuff like costumes. For example, stuntman Jay has a different color of whatever suit he's wearing on than the real actor Jay. And just like things like those piss me off. If
what?
Don't they piss you off at all? Aren't you affected by that at all?
Nah, it's so nitty, dude. And yeah, you're right. That's just 1970s filmmaking. And it's not even shooting for perfection, right? I think the genre blending allows it to just get away with that stuff. I was watching Face Off and Nicolas Cage's stuntman had like flowing locks of hair, whereas Nicolas Cage's Castor Troy is like almost like shaved, kind of short or cropped or bald.
Yeah, but that's bad direction or whatever it is. It's if you take 2.5 years to make a movie, if you're being such a big perfectionist that you want to take 25 days to shoot a song.
They're not being a perfectionist, dude. People fall in the same direction as the direction as they get shot in all the time. They don't even have squibs like when Thakur's Family dies.
Thank you.
You think I'm making your points for you. I'm not. The point is, like, this is just irrelevant to the genre. Like, all the emotional hits, stakes, all that stuff comes from this anyway. Okay, I grant they could have done better.
Why take 2.5 years to make it then?
You know, the masterpieces take a while, dude. It's like Mughal-Azam.
Yeah. Do you know how much intricate details were looked at while shooting Mughal-Azam?
That's true.
Stuntmen were wearing the same shade of color of your clothes than the, as opposed, like the original actor was.
But there were no Sten guns. This movie had a Sten gun randomly when they need it.
It's either like one of those old school revolver thingies or
pistol.
Like these, yeah, pistol or those like sniper Sten. Short guns.
No, a rifle. That's what a rifle is.
Yeah, rifle. And then all of a sudden it's like this machine gun.
A Sten gun, dude. Boom, 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 boom. And he just takes over.
Very conveniently, when Amitabh Bachchan has to get injured, it's like the most powerful weapon in the film. If Gabbar's men had those, no, game over.
Automatic weapons, dude.
Apparently, they did have those. That's how they got them in the first place.
Never showed them. Except very conveniently when someone had to get shot. And like, just Jai, like, rifling off revolver shots, like, pistol shots, like, it was like, nothing.
He was like an Olympic-level marksman. That's just the nature
of these
movies.
Without even looking, he's like looking at Veeru. He's like, Veeru, tu ja, ye leke aa, ta 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 ta. And this one guy's like 5 kilometers away getting a headshot.
You didn't complain when at the end of Good, Bad and the Ugly, he shoots off the rope.
Bro, he's known as the expert marksman. And granted that they try to show that Jai and Veeru are expert marksmen as well. Wo apna, while taking a half nap, he shoots a mango out of the tree and stuff. But it's just shown in such a comical way that it's not believable at all. Like, you believe The Good, Bad and the Ugly or The Dollars Trilogy when Clint Eastwood does that because you believe that that character is actually a marksman because he works hard to try to show you that he is. Here, the dude's like taking a half nap, wakes up, as a cartoon. I don't get it, dude.
I believe it, dude. And I think a lot of this stuff was well established and foreshadowed, you know. For instance, you know what I really like? This kind of Western concept of actually establishing characters and their menace or their notoriety is that they slowly built up the rewards they were offering. You know, so it was like, I think like 2,000 rupees on these guys. That's why they do the whole Surma Bhopali scheme, right? To get 1,000 rupees. And then Thakur comes in and says you can have like, I guess, 20,000 or something like that. And then the reward on Gabbar is shown to be like 50,000. Mm-hmm. And automatically you have a sense of scale and skill and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. So I think that was established. And, you know, the very first Skyfall train robbery scene.
Skyfall.
Establishes them as expert marksmen. And then the raw mango thing establishes them. I think they were just killing it, dude. I believe them. I think after they win the Sten gun fight and they're done like the expert marksmaning, Amitabh gives Dharmendra a wink. Do you remember that? It's so cute, dude. Know, it's just like, yeah, we know we're good marksmen. We got this shit.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't buy that at all.
And dude, Jai, man, just threw a coin. He's been getting his way for 10 years.
I'd be stammering through this episode if I had gotten head.
Yeah, that's what everybody who gets tail says. Big shit.
No, man. This one, I'm positively, positively glad that I'm against it. Because I am against this movie in general.
Stop talking.
It's not a good movie. How is it in the top 250 of the world?
The world, easily.
How?
Thank God this movie is recognized as top 250 of the world.
Oh my God. And like none of Satyajit Ray's like masterpieces, none of that shit will even feature there. And Sholay, Sholay is in the top 250.
What does Sholay even mean, by the way?
I don't know. I don't give a
I never understood it.
Sholay? Like something with fire? I think.
Yeah, I never understood what it means, but great name, dude. Killed it.
Oh, wow. Great name. I'm for this movie. At this point, Asrani, great actor. Charlie Chaplin se bada hai. R.D. Barman, bhaiya, Oscar le do usko.
Kuch bhi bol dega. Like, I understand you for this movie, but great name, even though you don't know the meaning of the word, how can you say it's a great name? Right. How does that make any sense?
Concede. I got a little carried away.
Wow.
But let's just talk about, we've spoken about a bunch of things, not necessarily in the order of the movie, but one thing, but a lot of elements of this movie have to do with actually the ending of the movie. After the big shootout, starting with Jai taking everybody on solo. Firstly, brutal deaths, dude. Didn't you feel something? Didn't it tug at your heartstrings? When Jai, the chill, cool, tall, handsome, soon to be marrying a widow, baller, drinks chai from a plate while his friend is about to commit suicide because he's so cool and he dies. Doesn't that hurt you? Did you see it coming? I mean, you did because you knew it. But would you have seen it coming?
I actually did not see it come. I did not remember 99% of this movie when I rewatched it. So it was almost like a fresh movie, except the dialogues that I knew of thrown in here and there. So it was a completely fresh movie for me. I had no idea Amitabh Bachchan was going to die or his character was going to die.
Oh, great. And then what did you feel?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Man. Really? In this kind of a movie, for one of them to die, I mean, even Butch Cassidy killed both.
Well, they don't show it. And those guys were expert marksmen. Well-established expert marksmen in the movies.
I thought that was pretty crazy that he died. So, okay, so he dies. I think it's like a pretty crazy death scene. I mean, talk about genres, man. Like, peak of, you know, it's like that screenwriting thing, the everything is lost moment. That definitely seems like it. And then Dharmendra goes into beast mode and he like summons this powers that we didn't know he had. And he single-handedly takes on Gabbar Singh. And you think the movie's over because he's done it. He's defeated them. And then fucking Thakur shows up, dude. That scene is my favorite. Mainly because of one particular moment where after they're done showing those typical close-ups of Thakur now ready to take on Gabbar, he straight up lunges, like drop kicks Gabbar in the face by lunging off a rock. I died laughing in that moment, dude. It was like, so good.
I drop kicked him, dude. And like that scene, dude, again, nitty gritty, that's what you'll call it. Gabbar's sitting there. Apparently, there's no one around. There's a horse behind him. There's a boiling kettle of some really hot liquid next to him. Bunch of stones, bunch of knives. Like, I'm sure there'll be a gun, a rifle here or there. He's just sitting there looking at Thakur, like, waiting, just like waiting to get laid or something.
I know what you're talking about. I remember thinking the same thing. Whatever, dude, he just got drop kicked with these, like, football spike jutis, man.
Yeah. How uncomfortable with those jutis.
He was, like, in shock. He was disoriented. And also, he'd gotten, like, beaten by Dharmendra. You know, that can't go well.
Yeah, and then, like, just Sanjeev Kumar again delivering his dialogues through gritty teeth. He's like, I'm gonna drop kick the fuck out of you.
Yeah, but at one point after he's done the dialogue, he straight up headbutts Gabbar. Twice.
And Gabbar's disoriented, but Thakur has, because it's like, you know, one of those things where they say, like, if you lose one of your six senses, like, then like the other things get. So he loses his hand, so his feet and his head become stronger. He immediately can get up within 1 second after giving someone a drop kick while the other guy's still like on the ground. How does one get up without hands? Like, does he like do like one of those twirly things, like, you know, those martial arts things when people get up in a cool way? You think Chakra's doing that stuff?
No, he does a Jackie Chan thing, like straight up. Like,
no, you need your hands for that though.
Oh shit.
Yeah, you do.
Dude, all I know is imagine writing a movie and deciding that the end of your movie is going to be an armless man just fighting it out to the death with a Daku and headbutting one of your best villain characters of all time after 3.5 hours of build-up. It's too good.
Is it? Is that what you call good? So, by the way, there was an alternate ending that was shot, or which was the original ending for the movie with the censor board cut it out and stuff, in which Thakur ends up killing Gabbar.
Really?
I would have loved it if that would have been the ending, because they would have just gone all in with, I think, I mean, they tried to go all in, but the censor board didn't allow it. Remember that scene where Thakur's about to smash his head in, but the cops show up and stop him?
Yeah.
In the original ending, he actually ends up smashing his head in.
That's awesome, because I hated that he
acquiesces. But they wouldn't, the censor board wouldn't let it happen, so they stopped him.
F***ing censor boards. This movie could have been even better.
But they did release a version of the movie with that original ending in the 90s. Yeah, I haven't seen it either. Maybe it might be better.
Dude, I gotta watch it. Yeah. Is it super gory, do you think, when he kills him at the end?
I don't think so. Judging by how the movie was made, it's probably just like gritty teeth Thakur.
By the way, what are you talking about, dude? The guy cuts off his hands and it's like a proper like, ye haath mujhe de de Thakur, and then the swords go up. I'm glad they didn't show any more, but it was pretty haunting as it is.
Yeah, yeah, sure. I don't know. I wasn't too excited by the ending. It was actually very funny. If this movie would have been a slapstick movie through and through and they embraced that genre, this ending would have been hilarious. A dropkick. He can just literally, there are three horses behind him. There are three horses behind him. He can just get on one and just like run away.
I'm just finding it hilarious that you're complaining, because like, this movie is just so great. Because if you complain about something dramatic, I can go to something funny. If you complain about something funny, I can go to something action. All the fight choreo is actually not bad at all. Dharmendra's Chucky piecing scene, dude. Iconic, hilarious. Manna cancel. So good. It's just great, man. Overall, like in summary, I just think this is the best genre blending curry western output of Indian cinema that I've seen in a long, long time. It's pretty interesting that we did this movie after Gangs, because they're like kind of opposite movies, but also like long and iconic. It's like measures up, bruh.
Yeah, no, it doesn't. Straight up rejection.
Okay, Mr. Yeah, no, it doesn't. I hate everything. What would you replace this
Ram Gopal Varma ki Aag. Have you seen that movie?
So you came prepared with an answer for what you would replace this movie on the IMDb top 250 with.
Ram Gopal Varma.
And your answer was Ram Gopal Varma Ki Aag. Very interesting you bring that up, because actually we hadn't touched upon that. I haven't seen it.
Watch it. Just watch it.
Ram Gopal Varma Ki Aag was a remake of Sholay starring Ajay Devgan, some Nalla who I had never seen before, and Amitabh Bachchan himself as Gabbar.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
And I think, if I'm not mistaken, it's considered the worst Bollywood movie ever made.
I think a big differentiator in Aag and Sholay, and something that took Aag to the next level as opposed to Sholay, was just like the simple tweak that they did. It was genius. They just called him Babban Singh instead of Gabbar Singh.
Okay.
Changed the tone completely.
Yeah.
Babban. Mohanlal is Thakur. Beast.
The South Indian actor.
Beast.
Does he have his mustache?
Have you seen Mohanlal? He always has the mustache.
Oh, wait. Thakur has the mustache too. Now that I think about it. All right. I think, if I'm not mistaken, Aag is considered one of the worst movies ever made in India.
Yeah. Just a notch above Sholay. What does Sholay mean, Vidur?
Aag something. Sigh. Ugh. So sick of your stupid points. Jay? Should we end this?
Yeah.
I'm going to make it quick. As they would say in Ramgarh, Jai Ramji ki.
So guys, that was this week's episode of Film Feud.
Thanks for listening. As always, be sure to tweet at us and let us know who you think won the feud. I don't even think there's any competition this time, dude. I don't know. Sorry, Jay.
We let the listeners decide.
Much like Viru, I'm going to be the one who remains alive, gets the girl, and gets to have a chill life. And you'll be dead. So, it's time to select the movie for next week's episode. Should we spin the Film Feud wheel?
Please.
Let's do this. So we got number 34. Ugh, it's The Green Mile.
So you don't like it?
So no, I said ugh, I haven't seen it. I've never seen it. And the reason I haven't seen it is because it seemed like damn lame and boring.
Interesting, interesting. Views before you watch it already.
It's a Stephen King novel, right?
Uh-huh.
And it has the guy who, Michael Clark Duncan,
yes,
who's dead.
Yes,
he and is. Has Tom Hanks.
God rest his soul, and Tom Hanks. Yes.
And I actually might be spoiling this a little bit, like in the end, he just opens his mouth and like all these like butterflies come out.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Butterflies.
That's all I know about this movie.
Wow, you seem to have some fashioned views on this film already.
Do you like it? Well played, sir. So we're doing The Green Mile.
We're doing The Green Mile. I'm actually excited that we're doing The Green Mile because you haven't seen it. And it's a movie you should watch.
I guess I am too. Yeah, it's good too. This is why we love this podcast. I get to watch a lot of movies that supposedly I should have seen.
Yeah, for sure, man.
So guys, make sure to tune in next week to listen to us feud about The Green Mile.
And don't forget to subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you guys get your podcast from.
Listen to us on YouTube if that's what you need. If you're lame and don't listen to podcasts anywhere else but YouTube, we got you covered.
Lamos.
Lamos.
Bye.
See you guys.
This was a Muncha Media Production.